We live in a world full of takers. In every culture, the people we respect and honor the most are those who are successful. The ones who achieve the most, who accumulate the most money, most fame, most power, most prestige. We honor them even though we know many of these people are ruthless in acquiring their power, their wealth, or their fame. God's kingdom is just the opposite. The greatest before God are the greatest givers of love, of time, and of effort. In God's kingdom, He rewards givers. Givers receive from God when they give with all their heart. Take a step and God will meet you with what you need. I was furious, then hurt, deeply hurt, numb, then empty. A friend I've known most of my life had just done an unspeakable act of betrayal. I couldn't believe he had actually done it, but he had. And it hurt. It hurt so bad. I talked with our friends about this, but talking about the betrayal just made me more furious. Finally, I had to stop talking about it. Then sadness came, like a heavy blanket. I've been through a lot in my life, but this was really hard. For days, I couldn't stop thinking about it. My wife was concerned. Rage was building in me, and it was eating me alive. It was so outrageous what he did. I know the Bible says to forgive. I tried again and again, but I couldn't. I avoided my friend. I didn't answer his texts, and my anger spilled out into my life. I had several angry outbursts with friends and with my wife. I apologized, but obviously I couldn't go on like this. Luke 6, 37-38 says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I needed to stop judging my friend, and I needed to forgive him. I rehearsed this in my mind again and again. I kept trying to forgive him, but I kept thinking of what he had done, and I always ended up angry in these thought sessions. Give, it says in Luke 6:38. I needed to give something. So I called my friend. I called and acted as if the betrayal had never happened. We talked about everyday things, just small talk. That was a hard call to make. I was a nervous wreck before the call, and I had to try hard during the call not to explode in anger. I was still so angry and hurt so much. I didn't explode because God helped me. As I talked with my friend, I began to realize that my friend was in a very bad place and that my friend had made a horrible mistake, but there were reasons for it. They weren't excuses, and what he did was wrong, but I began to understand. The forgiveness I was struggling to find suddenly dropped into my heart. I remembered all the years of our friendship and the many, many wonderful memories we have together, and I remembered why I love this guy. And then it was easy to forgive. Forgiveness is a form of love. It's not an emotion. It's a decision followed by an action. Act first, and the emotion will follow. We step out in faith, and God gives us what we need to do what is right. I gave my friend a second chance by making that phone call. And God restored our friendship. He gave me understanding and forgiveness, and He gave me peace. He also gave me a fresh love for my friend. Before I took a step, I was unable to forgive, even though I was trying. After I acted, just taking one step toward forgiveness, God flooded my heart with forgiveness. Give, Jesus said, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. There's a powerful spiritual principle at work in Luke 6:38. We give to God, and He gives more to us, much more. I took one small step toward forgiveness, a phone call reaching out to my friend. God ran to me and filled my heart with memories of a long friendship, filled my heart with forgiveness and understanding that I've been trying to get on my own. It was an amazing experience. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The principle was proven true in many contexts in Scripture. Karen, my wife, and I experienced this many times as we moved to Hong Kong, where Karen is from. In 1997, Karen and I felt God calling us to go to Hong Kong. We gave away our furniture to my family and to our pastor. We gave away a car, a 5-year-old Chrysler. Upon arriving in Hong Kong, one of Karen's friends called her, excited to see her again. Karen said, "We're looking for an apartment." Karen didn't tell her we had no furniture and no money to buy furniture. Karen's friend told her that they were remodeling their home and replacing all their furniture. So, if we wanted it, we could have all their old furniture. Their old furniture was fabulous. God had just given us an apartment full of furniture, beautiful furniture. Over the next 10 years, we were given first a Toyota Camry, then a BMW, then another Toyota Camry, and we were offered a Mercedes, all of these at no cost. We had given away a Chrysler, and God was giving us these luxury cars. We had to decline the Mercedes because it was just too expensive to maintain. God had given to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I left my dream job as assistant professor teaching law at a university in the U.S. to go to Hong Kong. I did it because I felt God called us to go there. Matthew 6:33 promises, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The things this verse refers to are food, clothing, and daily necessities of life. We found that when we walked the path God told us to walk, his provision was there waiting for us at key points along the way, just when we needed. God did this for us in finances too. A friend needed $5,000 for his business. He was in trouble. We didn't have a lot of money at that time, but we did have $5,000. We lent it to him. His business failed. We forgave that debt, and he's our dear friend today. We didn't know that a few years later, our software business would fail, and we would lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. We were able to repay part of that to our investors, who were our friends, over the next several years. But several hundred thousand dollars of that debt was forgiven by people who loved us. We didn't pray for God to give us furniture or cars or money as gifts, and we were surprised each time he did. God just gave us gift after gift. And with every gift, he reminded us of his love and faithfulness to us. While in Hong Kong, we had some tough years financially. God's gifts touched us deeply. And he taught us about giving and receiving from the heart. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Activation. Apply this spiritual principle to your life. This spiritual principle works in human relationships as well as our relationship with God. Christian salesman and life coach Zig Ziglar expressed this well when he said, "If you go looking for a friend, you'll find that friends are very scarce. If you go out to be a friend, you'll find them everywhere. Want love? Give love. Want kindness? Be kind. Want to be heard? Listen. Want to be forgiven? Forgive others and forgive yourself. Want to not be judged? Don't judge others." This works in all relationships. Do you want to hear God more? Listen. Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God." And John 10:27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Want to be closer to Jesus? James 4:8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Can you see it? You step out toward God, and he comes running to you. In Luke 11:20, Jesus is telling the parable of the prodigal son returning to his father. Jesus said, "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." That's God and you. Do it and be amazed. Turn your heart to Jesus. Step out toward him, and he'll come running to you. Want to lead? Serve. In God's kingdom, leaders are servants. Luke 22:6. "But this is not your calling. You'll lead by a different model. The greatest one among you will live as one called to serve others without honor. The greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one who has a servant heart." Want help? Help someone. Want people to care about you? Care about someone. Want faith? Faith requires an action. Take a risk. John 21, verses 5 and 6. Jesus called to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The foundation of all of this is found in 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Give time, effort, thought, energy, and heart to Jesus, and you'll be overwhelmed by his response. I promise. Millions have experienced this, and you will too. Give, and God will give to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. If you enjoyed this podcast, like, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you for listening, and thank you for doing the activation to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation. Until next time, God bless.